T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. You're listening to Chicago's number one sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. An Odyssey station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score!
This hour is brought to you by the law offices of Jeffrey M. Leving.
Mully and Hall, live and local. Chicago Sports Talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
There will be a plan with Justin and with Andy and with Nick and just how we go about this. And I think that's going to be very, very important, is that we understand it. Now, fortunately for myself, Ryan and I have had a bunch of discussions and just talking through scenarios. And as everybody has talked about, I went through that in 2017. So is it going to be the same thing? I don't know. But at least we have some type of blueprint to at least work off of and be able to use that to start and see where it goes.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is the voice of Matt Nagy. He is the head coach, the once and future head coach of the Chicago Bears, and he's talking about the new quarterback, Justin Fields. And I think the last time we converged, David, we talked about how this was a Matt Nagy pick. This was the player that Matt Nagy really wanted, and this is the guy, as if maybe he was allowed to make the selection for the Chicago Bears. And it's you call it collaboration, you call it consensus building, but it was the guy Matt Nagy wanted, and a player that nobody expected to be there at number 11, and the Bears move up and get him, and they gave up a lot, but a worthwhile idea to do so. And you thought, wow, that's something else. You know, is Matt Nagy flexing muscle a little bit? Is he allowed now to make the pick? I like that more than having the GM go into the room and not tell anyone and come out with Mitch Trubisky. So it seems like we can view this pick a little differently. And then the draft went on, and all of a sudden you started thinking like, oh, did Matt Nagy make that pick? Oh, he was allowed to go and make that pick too. I guess he made that pick. So it seemed like it was a Matt Nagy draft, a draft designed to get his offense up and running.
Well, there's a power distribution question we can talk about, and I think you're exactly right. You know, I think that this draft underscored just how much the power maybe has shifted to the head coach in terms of a hierarchy. And that's okay, because the practical demands dictated that. You were not going to let, in good conscience, I don't know how you could have let Ryan Pace preside over another draft, take another big swing at another young quarterback, without being guided by the guy who hasn't been here in the past, the guy who was here for one reason. That's his ability to, you know, call plays and design offenses and know quarterbacks. So if you have Matt Nagy here and you've decided as a franchise, George McCaskey and Ted Phillips and company, that both will stay for next year, then you are going to agree to that, I think, conditionally. And the condition is, well, if you're going to pick a new quarterback, you better ask the guy who knows them better than you do. And this is Matt Nagy's draft class, if you will. And I think Justin Fields was the quarterback, as we're finding out, that he had to have, that he ranked higher than anybody else in this draft class other than Trevor Lawrence. And so when he was there and things fell into place, yeah, you pounce. You pounce because that was a quarterback that that Matt Nagy, you know, likes. That's the one he can work with, and that's the one he's willing to tailor his offense and his game plans around once he becomes your week-to-week starting quarterback. And I think that's the key thing. Can he do that? Can he develop Justin Fields now?
And, David, to trade up 13 spots and then take Tevin Jenkins, who a lot of people, I believe the Bears included, had a first-round grade on, and to get the, you know, 6'6", whatever, 320, and he's a giant of a man, he's got a little nasty to him, and to get him, that is another really good move. That, you know, I don't like losing draft picks, but I'm not going to complain when you are under-drafting your first two picks. Now, you're giving up value, you're giving up assets, but with both players, but they are, in my opinion, more likely to succeed than not. So I don't feel really bad about it. We'll find out later how this works out. But when the fifth round offensive tackle Larry Borum is available and you decide that that's the guy you have to have, when that's your third pick in the draft, and at that point you had fewer picks than anybody else in the entire draft, and you had two, and you get to the fifth round and you go with Larry Borum, I believe at that point, and I'll have to think this through, if it was when they took Tevin Jenkins, I went back and I watched all of the coverage. So I recorded everything and I spent hours watching television. But I loved watching Louis Riddick because I know he's got a personal relationship with Matt Nagy. And I know that some of the stuff he says tends to be from the coach himself, frankly. So when they either made the first tackle or the second tackle pick, I think it was the second tackle, he talked about how difficult it was to run an offense without tackles and how Nick Foles had no chance of surviving behind that offensive line last year. And the problem they had wasn't necessarily Nick Foles, it was that offensive line. And we know that they came to some sort of resolution at the end of the year, and they liked the group that they had. And in talking during our little draft powwow show, we were on the air when they took Borum, it was interesting to hear Tom Thayer talk about the offensive line, and he believes that they are a better team with Sam Mustipher at center than not. And he believes that Cody Whitehair and James Daniels should be the guards on this team. So you're taking guys. If Borum ends up being a guy that is can play in a phone booth rather than hold up on the edge, does that change what you're doing in the middle of that offensive line? Is he a guy that you see potentially moving into a guard position as opposed to a tackle position? And you know, we know that that Juan Castillo is an offensive coach, loves these big guys, loves these kind of giant guys on the inside. So does that change anything in your opinion, David, as to how they're going to line up or what the way – I mean, have we decided that Tevin Jenkins can play left tackle? Because that was a big question coming into the draft.
Well, it's a fair question to wonder, and you have to – let that play out. And you did a nice job with Tom and Jeff and Grody on the May Day draft show. I like the way you termed that on Saturday.
It was for and the worker, David. It was for the worker.
You know, I think that when you get to the fifth round, Mully, and I think those are valid questions, but when you get to the fifth round and you are drafting like a regime that is planning for the future, you're building your roster for the long term. And I have no problem with them going offensive tackle two picks in a row because I think it's somewhat of a neglected position in the draft and previous ones. And so Larry Borum, he may fit inside, he may fit outside. My sense is that it is at right tackle. He is what they said, the road grader, right? The guy who is the ideal sort of right tackle body type and approach and mentality.
Yeah.
It goes back to, though, if you do envision Tevin Jenkins as somebody capable of playing the left side, as Ryan Pace left open that possibility when asked directly about it. Boy, this draft, everything after Justin Fields and Tevin Jenkins then becomes important, but not as significant as if you were able to get your – if this is the draft where the Bears found the quarterback and left tackle of the future, then you'll take that regardless of what else you get. The rest would be bonus. But are you there yet in terms of in accepting or projecting Jenkins as your left tackle? I don't know, but it's certainly he looks like he could do that. He looks like he could play the part. And if you have two rookie tackles, not starting at the same time, but certainly supplementing the depth, you already had good depth in your interior, your center and your guard positions. Your offensive line got better, and they got a couple of very interesting undrafted free agents to add to the mix as well. We know that they found their starting center there too. So I think the Bears come out of this draft feeling great about their quarterback, but just as encouraged about their offensive line depth now that they've added to it.
Do you believe Sam Mustapha is the starting center and should be?
Yes, I do. I think that he showed a lot last year. I think that it's important with the offensive line, and I'm not going to pretend to be an expert, but you talk to people and how they line up and what they're able to do in terms of recognition of blitzes, of stunts, and just the getting everybody set. And then doing the job himself he's certainly the guy that I think you feel good about moving forward. He stabilizes a group that needs stability. And then if you put James Daniels and Cody Whitehair to his left and his right, that's a pretty solid interior. So I think that would be the way they would, if you're lining up, the first mini camp, then that would be the way I would line them up to go from day one.
It's really interesting because if you feel that Tevin Jenkins can be a guy you immediately play at left tackle, then if you're up against the salary cap, and we know the Bears are supposedly $400,000, less than $500,000 up against the salary cap, would it make sense to perhaps cut someone like Charles Leno Jr.? Your cap savings would be $9 million if you cut him after June 1st.
Well, we're doing the football math, and we've all done it before. This makes a lot of sense from that perspective. You have somebody who has been very good to the organization, Charles Leno Jr. You don't want to dismiss his contributions. How many games straight has he started? A lot. And so he's been a fixture there. But you do have less than $500,000 under the cap. You're going to have to cut somebody. You cannot go into this next phase of your roster building without shedding some of the fat on your payroll. And I think that when you draft two tackles and one of them is projected as potentially the left tackle of the future, yeah, you could see that happening. And I think that if he were coming off a season where he played at a higher level, maybe you wouldn't have that sort of speculation, but that's not the case. And so I think that would be one of the more curious questions that I think remains open as we sit here this morning after the draft.
If he's got a cap number of like 8.9 million base, would you consider extending him just to give you cap relief this year and then put that decision off?
If he's open to that, yeah, if he's open to that, you have a number.
Because he's in his last year. He's only got a year left. So that's one thing you got to – but you're right. He started five straight years. You would think that you'd want a guy like that. Although, I mean, look, Kyle Fuller is gone. Buster Skrine is gone. Bobby Massey. They've had to make some hard choices and tough decisions. And, they still got some receivers on the team that maybe don't have a future there. I don't know.
Well, I would probably talk to Charles Leno Jr. and see how, where things stand. And they know. I think they have a better sense of them where we have privy to in the information. But the other priority I would have, Molly, is, okay, Allen Robinson, this can help you structure your cap in a way that is manageable. If you go to him now and you say, hey, look, we've got that franchise quarterback. We've got the guy. And it was interesting to hear Justin Fields say that he had gotten a text message from Allen Robinson, one of the first Bears that he mentioned in terms of who reached out to contact him. He's probably thrilled at the development. And now that you have something to sell Allen Robinson beyond just being a Chicago Bear and being the number one receiver here, maybe his mindset changes. Maybe you can strike a deal in a way that you couldn't before, because that would help you out as well. And then your payroll, then your salary cap realities are a little bit different. So I would probably rethink and try to renegotiate and make another offer to Allen Robinson to see if you can get that thing settled.
312-644-6767 is the number. The Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Kevin is in Palatine. Good morning, Kevin.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, Molly, you did a great job Saturday. That was good to listen to. Getting this tackle in the second round, you know, usually I look for some way to pick apart something with the draft. I got to tell you, throughout, I wasn't upset with anyone they took. I think the guy from BYU, it might even make the team as the last pick. And just reading the comments and watching the video of this guy from Oklahoma State, if you are a Bears fan and you got a problem with that pick, then there's something wrong with you, because this guy is he's insanely angry and he's very athletic, and he's that's a great pick. And David, one quick comment on the Cubs. You said when you shop in the bargain bin. So now the evil side of me is looking for what's going to happen to Tom Ricketts. If Chris Bryant wins the MVP and he goes back-to-back years of giving away a guy who came in second in the Cy Young and an MVP, this guy has no idea of the anger that is starting to swell in his fan base. He is totally out of touch. If this guy wins the MVP and he lets him go for nothing, just wait, because that park, the anger for this dude is going to be insane. Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, Kevin. I think that'd be a nice problem to have if Chris Bryant's winning the MVP and you have to figure out a way to pay him. And I think you'd have to figure out a way to pay him. But we're talking Bears and we're talking draft class. And I think that, you know, Tevin Jenkins.
Is he going to pull a Hawk and win the MVP for a last place team, Dustin? That's his favorite player. I'm just kidding.
Andre Dawson, not Hawk Harrelson. Yeah.
I meant Andre Dawson. That's his favorite player. Yeah. He knew what I meant. And I think Chris Bryant might have replaced the Hawk in his heart.
Not quite yet, but boy, he does make it look easy.
He's very good. And, you know, we've talked about keeping him for a long time, but you're right. We're talking draft and we're getting into it. And you know, we're starting to dig a little bit deeper here, because I think, David, that all, you know, salary cap management is so important. And understanding that you're going to need some money when you get into the season is very important. So they still have work to do. You mentioned maybe going to Allen Robinson. I got to be brutally honest about it. Do you think that they really want Allen Robinson to an extent? Why didn't they do that already? And when they did, apparently the number was completely their idea of his value versus his idea was not in the same ballpark, which is why they couldn't come up with anything. And then you let things go. And now you're in the situation you're in, where the guy's making a ton of money. I you know, and I got no problem with him making that money. But once you are guaranteed that amount of money, the starting point of the contract changes.
Yeah, I agree. But your curb appeal is much better now than it was before you drafted Justin Fields. And a lot of the dynamics and things about this franchise moving forward are entirely different. You know, the context of 2021 is different. Your long-term planning is different. When you're able to pull off the draft pick in the first round, the way the Bears were able to pull this off, then you have to rethink everything about every negotiation that you've had, because nothing's the same. So Allen Robinson taking up $18 million on your salary cap, that's got to change. That's got to be different. You cannot move forward. That's untenable, I think. But you want to keep him, and you want to keep him beyond next year, because you've got a quarterback to develop now. Suddenly you've got a guy who needs a number one target, or else you're not doing it right. And so they want to do this right. You keep Allen Robinson. You surround Justin Fields with as many weapons as possible. You protect him, and then you become an offensive football team rather than the defensive team that the Bears have been for years.
We're gonna get to the pick six next, and we got a big show planned for you. We're going to take this thing apart. We're going to go down to the absolute base and build it back up again. It should be tons of fun today. Pick six next. Mully and Hall on the Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Hall. where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Anything stand out about Matt Nagy's developmental plan for Justin Fields, the one that will attempt to mimic the 2017 approach with Patrick Mahomes when Mahomes started one game and threw 35 passes?
Yeah, nothing really stood out for me at all about what Matt Nagy had to say, to be honest with you. I don't think I believed anything about his developmental plan. I think that his developmental plan is going to change as the season goes on, as he gets a view of the kind of things that that Justin Fields can do. He seems impatient to me as an offensive guy. He kind of made a decision pretty quickly on Trubisky. I thought last year was a great example of just sort of this desire to get to it. And then once it didn't work, okay, you try, let's go back. You know, I think this is a guy that he's going to be able to work with, and I think it's going to be very difficult for a guy like Matt Nagy to not run his scheme and to not get to it. So I think that, you know, you're going to have to try to figure out a way to get success with Andy Dalton. And, I think he's going to – Justin Fields will start more than one game.
I think what stood out to me was when he talked about when the time is right, I promise you every single person will know, including Justin, when it's the right time, and that's naturally how it happens. Yeah, yes and no, that's how it happens. A lot of times there are external pressures that kind of force the issue and accelerate the process. But if he's saying all the right things and he's talking about needing to be patient, and I think that's the ideal way to go, right? I mean, you want to have somebody, you want to have that luxury, but it is a luxury, and the Chiefs had that luxury because they won 10 games in the season that Alex Smith started and Patrick Mahomes watched. If the Bears can win somehow 10 games or be around 500 with Andy Dalton, that means that he has been serviceable, he's been better than average, he's been the point guard they're asking him to be. But I think we're realists here in Chicago, or should be, and that comment by Matt Nagy kind of revealed that in the back of his mind he understands that. So if they are flirting with 500 and you do see growth in Justin Fields at practice or whatever it is, however they are going to choose to evaluate him by getting reps, then his mind remains open. And I think that's good. That's a good reminder for everybody. Keep an open mind. You want to stay the course. But boy, if he's ready and they're struggling, it's going to be very tempting to get Justin Fields behind center.
Yeah, I'm not talking necessarily about a pick six or something like that.
Do you think Tevin Jenkins' future with the Bears will be at right tackle or left tackle? And how soon do you think Jenkins will start? Who will be the odd man out?
I think Tevin Jenkins is starting week one somewhere on that offensive line. I think that he definitely is a guy who will come NFL ready. He had a first-round grade, I believe, by the Bears and several other teams. Tevin Jenkins is an NFL lineman. On and off the field, there's a lot to like about him becoming a Chicago Bear. And Ryan Pace could have squelched any sort of speculation about Tevin Jenkins being your left tackle of the future and possibly the present when he was asked a question directly, and he didn't. He said both sides are in play, possibly. So I think that makes you wonder about the future of Chuck Leno, and Charles Leno Jr. may be the odd man out when all is said and done. I don't think it's Jermaine Ifedi. They just re-signed him pretty affordably. So I think Chuck Leno's may be in danger and jeopardy, as we talked about. And Tevin Jenkins is starting somewhere in that offensive line week one.
Could Jermaine Ifedi move back to right guard? I mean, do we know that that Sam Mustipha is a lock at center? Do we know if they have other plans in terms of trying to figure out how to be a power running team maybe at some point? I really like Sam Mustipha, honest to God, and I'm not trying to sound like I'm ringing a bell against him, but somebody is not going to start. If you start Tevin Jenkins at right tackle, then you got to ask yourself, where does Ifedi fit? Does he move inside or is he moved to the bench? And, you know, as you said, they did give him a raise, whether that was correct or not. I don't know that Tevin Jenkins begins on the left side, but I think he is a plug-and-play guy from day one. I think that's the one player out of the draft that you would say is going to be a contributor as a starter next year. And I'll be disappointed if he can't win a job out of camp.
Pick six! Wow!
What is the greatest area of need on the roster? Is there a hole this team failed to answer sufficiently through free agency and the draft? What position concerns you the most?
By a mile, it's cornerback. I mean, by a mile, it's quarterback. Corner. It's insane that they think that they're laughing at corner. We don't even know if Jalen Johnson is going to be able to play an entire 17-game season. So he's the guy that they drafted last year that they feel really good about. Artie Burns got $990,000. Does that mean he's going to be your nickel? I don't know where that is. You talk about Trufant. You know, he got $1 million. He got like just over $1 million. This is not, it's a 1-year deal. Both those guys are on 1-year deals. He's a guy that if he's healthy, he can play well, but he's not healthy all the time. And we don't know if he's going to hold up. So drafting a guy in the fifth round, thinking that, you know, some of the late round picks from previous years are ready to step in, I am not sure that they are covered at any spot in the corner position. I mean, when you like break down where they're at the cornerback position, how do you feel good about that? Is there anybody that is, well, I really feel good about Jalen Johnson? You know, Duke Shelley, Vindor, he's ready to go. I don't think anybody feels that way. I think they got a ton of question marks at cornerback. And, you know, it's great to add Thomas Graham Jr., but he's just a guy added to the mix. If Desmond Trufant does not hold up, if Jalen Johnson doesn't hold up, you got a hole there. And, I mean, it's a pretty sizable one.
Yeah, Kendall Vildor and I think Duke Shelley are guys that they want to take a step forward, but there's no reason you have every reason to wonder if they're capable of doing that. You know, Trufant is, they're taking a flyer on, but they don't have a ton of commitment to. You know, Thomas Graham Jr. in the sixth round is an intriguing prospect, but he's just a prospect, and he dropped for a reason after opting out. He comes from Oregon. He did play three seasons before opting out. Pretty productive player. But I don't know that you look at him as being in the mix for the outside corner spot with Trufant there. I think maybe, you know, Graham Jr. may be a guy in the mix for the replacement of Buster Screen, somebody who has been easy to overlook, but he's a 12th starter on defense. So they have been they have some issues at the cornerback position. You have Jalen Johnson, who, by the way, has a background, I think, with Thomas Graham, I think, both from the Fresno area. So that's kind of a neat connection. But Jalen Johnson has got to stay healthy. And the one area now, after the draft, moving forward into the season, that you're concerned about players, definitely the cornerback position.
This is Jamal Adams with a block and a pick six.
What did you make of Saturday's dust-up between Reds pitcher Amir Garrett and the Cubs? Do you think suspensions will be handed out after the bench is cleared? And was David Ross right or wrong in calling Garrett's style and actions, quote, garbage?
I love that because he's right. I mean, that is garbage. A guy who gets that excited, he's got a 10 ERA, and he's going to stare down Anthony Rizzo. Look, except for Javi Baez's unfortunate camera shot that captured that for posterity, him flipping off Amir Garrett, that was a episode in the Cubs game where they can use as a rallying point if they want to, because he's an easy guy to rally against. He was in the game yesterday. I thought it was hilarious, laughing when they made a pitching change because Jake Arrieta was pinch hitting. So Amir Garrett, they didn't trust him to get out the pitcher. They brought in a right-hander to face Arrieta. That had to be a satisfying moment, even though Arrieta struck out. But yeah, that was nonsense on Saturday. Will there be a suspension? Look, if Wilson Contreras, Grossi's right, if he got fined or whatever he did for instigating, what did Amir Garrett do? That was absolutely instigation by definition of what he did. So I hope so.
Well, I mean, Amir Garrett has a history with the Cubs. I mean, this is not new. He's got a history with Baez. I got to tell you, I hear what you're saying. But, and you know, he was very happy to strike out Anthony Rizzo, and he celebrated. But I don't know that Javi Baez jumping out of the dugout, jumping over the fence and coming out and flipping him off, I don't know that that's going to go unpunished. I would think he's in trouble, too. I would think he's going to get some kind of fine. I don't know if it's a suspension, but, you know, Amir Garrett has got a history with this team. He's kind of a goof. Why do you bite for it? Why is Baez, you know, Anthony Rizzo can't defend himself? Why is Baez the guy that has to jump over the fence? It's because of previous things with Amir Garrett. So you know, the two of them don't like each other. I think it's kind of, the whole thing was kind of stupid and silly. You know, we've seen different Cubs players celebrate when doing something. They seem awfully sensitive to me. I think that, you know, Anthony Rizzo turned over his shoulder and looked at him. You want to beat the guy? Then the next guy goes up and defend him at the plate. You know, do something to win the game. And I know they won the game, but I'm saying, don't worry about yelling at him and jumping over the fence and getting, you know, your Irish up. You gotta at some point, just ignore the guy. Who cares? If his style is garbage, then just don't let it get to you. You know, don't give your emotions over to someone else. As difficult as that is to do in terms of easy for me to say.
It's a pick six.
How well-equipped are the White Sox to withstand the loss of Luis Robert in center field? What's their best option? Patch things together with the current 40-man roster or go outside the organization for help? How long do you expect Robert to miss?
I have a hard time with this. I think that the best thing to do is to wait and see if indeed Adam Engel is coming back. And he was taking batting practice. He is moving forward. He did have a setback. But I think you got to wait and see that. The worst thing you can do is start trying to trade out of a position of weakness. And everybody knows what you're missing and what you're not missing. So I think come trade deadline, there's probably an outfielder out there that you can pick up. But now's not the time, unfortunately. So you got to wait and see and hold your water and make a decision after you get the information. I always expect the worst for everything in my life. So I'm anticipating horror, hell, anguish, the whole bit.
Well, there's a lot there. But we'll stick with Luis Robert here for the moment. You have to anticipate that it's going to be bad moving forward, and you have to plan for the worst. Unfortunately, the Sox have been burned by injuries. So now you start exploring what's out there, and you hope for a quick return, but you anticipate other injuries. You may be willing to give up prospects for help now, help needed, help immediately, because this is a team built to win now. So you're going to put sooner over later on the priority list. So, yeah, Rick Hahn, you got some work to do.
That is a pick six.
Zach LaVine isn't expected to play tonight against the 76ers, but has slowly emerged from COVID-19 protocols. How would you suggest working LaVine back into the mix? And do you think the Bulls are considering shutting him down?
I guess it's part of the conversation. You know, it'll be likely 11 games without Zach LaVine. It's a shame at this point of the season when they needed him most. They've tread water without him, but it's just unfortunate. I don't know that you want to shut him down if he's able to play. There's something worthwhile in playing him. Because you want to go out on the right foot. You'd like to see him end the season on a positive note. So hopefully he comes back sooner rather than later. But this has been a long, long stretch without him.
Yeah, you know, it's been a long stretch, and it's not like he could do a lot during that stretch. This is different than a guy having, a leg injury, or a guy, you know, could swim, or a guy having an arm injury that could still run. You know, this is not only something that sidelined him, but it could affect him. So I would think they'd be more likely than not to shut him down, because by the time he's ready, they may not even be capable of saving the season. So I would take all that into account personally. We'll see how it works out. All right, we've got Brad Biggs next. We're going to get to our guy, find out what his thoughts are on the draft. It's Biggs time on the Mully and Hall Show.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Mully and Haw.
Biggs time.
The Biggs Report with Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs Talks Football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to our guy, Brad Biggs. He is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station and a valued friend. And he joins us on the Score Hotline, presented by Al Pamani Ford in Melrose Park on North Avenue or apford.com. Big Zay!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Did the Bears win the draft? Were they the big winner? Do you take away nothing but victory?
They did well for themselves. They absolutely did well for themselves. But it's impossible to declare winners or losers. Houston Texans lose. They didn't have any draft picks, right? They're sort of rudderless. But Justin Fields has got to go out and be a player, guys. He has got to be the long sought answer to the quarterback position, and if he is, anything else they get in terms of this 7-man draft class will be just a bonus, right? And I think there's reason to have high expectations for Tevin Jenkins, the second round pick, but for Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy. I think for the organization and for fans, it's all about the quarterback fields.
All right, Brad, Tevin Jenkins is an curious and promising prospect. Where does he start if he is starting week one, left tackle or right tackle?
Well, I think he's likely going to be in the starting lineup week one. They told you that they had round one grades on him. They won't tell you exactly how they stacked up the quarterbacks on their board, but they'll tell you that they had a first-round grade on Tevin Jenkins. So now the chore is identifying the 5 best linemen that you have, and okay, how do we get these 5 guys on the field? What order do we put them in? Pace has been very reluctant to say much of anything about the status of Charles Leno right now. So we'll have to wait and see. But, yeah, I would expect Tevin Jenkins in the starting lineup week one.
Well, you know, Leno's interesting because if you cut him after June 1, you get a huge cap savings, $9 million versus $2.3 in dead money. That would help you a lot, but do we know that anyone else can play left tackle, and can you afford to do that? And, Brad, when we look at where they're at from a cap situation and try to include these players, who does that spell trouble for? Because I would imagine that not everyone is going to make this team that we think of as starting players.
Yeah, there's a lot of different things that they could do cap-wise right now in order to create some room. One of the things that I expected back around the start of the new league year was a restructure of the contract for Robert Quinn, that they would kick some of that Paragraph 5 money, which is his base salary for this season, and convert it into to bonus money, which would free up a considerable amount of cap space. Quinn has a base salary of $11.5 million this year with a cap hit of 14.7. So you take that 11.5, you make a bunch of it bonus money, and you can prorate it out over the life of the contract then to create some room. As you mentioned, the other way to create some type of cap space is to cut players. We'll have to see what happens along the offensive line. But really, there's not a ton of guys on this roster where you look at it and say, yeah, boy, they could cut him to save money, because some of these guys are locked in with guaranteed money. Other guys, they kind of have to have to make this thing work. And then other players that they could potentially cut would create a space for a player, but probably wouldn't really free up any money.
Brad, I think you can't answer every question during a draft, but the Bears seem somewhat exposed at cornerback. And I know they got Thomas Graham Jr. in the sixth round. I think it could be an interesting pick because he was productive at Oregon before he opted out last year. Where does he fit, and what do you feel about the position of cornerback?
Yeah, I agree with you. With the number of needs that they had going into this draft, they weren't going to be able to check every box, at least to a degree where you'd say, hey, yeah, you got to feel a ton better about this position. They had to deal up to get Justin Fields. They then felt compelled to deal up again to get Tevin Jenkins. And so when you look at where they were at in terms of depth at the cornerback position or even frontline talent at the cornerback position, you know, that really hasn't changed a whole lot. Hopefully Graham can develop quickly to be considered in the mix. But they get the quarterback thing done. They get multiple guys for the offensive line. But in terms of cornerback, in terms of wide receiver, or there's another sixth-round addition in Daz Newsome of North Carolina. And then in terms of inside linebacker, with some of the depth that they have there that I think at least poses some questions, yeah, they simply couldn't pull it all off. But something had to give if they were going to move up from 20 and get a quarterback, and then more had to give when they made the trade to move up 13 spots for Tevin Jenkins.
Was there anything else that you feel they missed out of the draft? I mean, when we went into it, we talked about their positions of need. And, you know, they eventually got to corner, but obviously they waited a long time. And that's why we're talking about that position. Offensive line, that's great. Wide receiver, they got one again. They didn't get one early. Where are they at with all of the holes they had going in? And you know, you talk about the inside linebacker. Where are they at defensive tackle? Do you feel they're good enough at that position? And Akeem Hicks is locked in, yeah?
Yeah, Hicks looks locked in. With Eddie Goldman coming back, that's going to be a huge boost for them. Cyrus Tonga is a really big guy. If he pans out, he's going to be one of those run stuffers that can play on first and second down for you. And adding some depth there makes sense, especially at that point in the draft, because you're going to wind up in free agency with the undrafted guys targeting some big guys as camp bodies with the hope that a few of them are worth keeping an extended look at, keeping them around for a while and seeing if they can pan out so they get Cyrus Tonga there. I think they're at the position now where obviously the salary cap is a huge consideration for them. But at some of these positions, we've talked about cornerback, wide receiver, especially looking at the slot wide receiver position, inside linebacker, as I mentioned. They'll be looking to see what veterans are on the street. And the veterans that are on the street, that's a group that should grow a little bit here in the next 2 weeks as some teams consider potentially cutting some players that they may have replaced on their own roster during the draft. So you're talking about guys who they could probably get on the cheap to have in place during training camp to evaluate. But if you're looking for a big winner or winners that were on the roster going into the draft and should feel better about their situation now on Monday morning, obviously you got to look at Desmond Trufant, the veteran corner that they signed, and Kendall Vildor, the fifth round pick a year ago, who should be able to compete potentially with Trufant for that starting position opposite Jalen Johnson. Those guys win big when they wait until pick 228 to get Thomas Graham from Oregon.
Great stuff, Bigsy. Thank you.
Nice job all weekend,
all right,
Brad.
Guys, have a great day.
You too.
All right, that's our guy, Brad Biggs. We're going to pick apart the draft next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.